Avosa, good morning.
Good morning.
As everybody knows, this is the last year of the fifth season of Rabbi Sharpen's Rising Learn series, which is more successful than most TV shows, but nobody here watches TV anyways, so it doesn't matter. First of all, I want to give a first toast to Marty first and to Carlos, who always make sure that the room or rooms are set up every single week for our comfort. Secondly, Avram Eliezer and many of the base Medrash boys and many of you here for helping set up and or clean up every week, and especially when I'm not around. I've never heard of complaints. I presume they do a good job. So we appreciate that very much. And not lastly, but most importantly, to Rabbi Sharpman, who's this season has been our longest of 32 shiurim this year, which brings the total over the 5 years to 140 shiurim, which is pretty incredible. And if you look at the titles and the subject matters, it just covers, just the breadth that it covers is just absolutely incredible, and it's on point, and things that are of interest to all of us, week in and week out, and we appreciate that very much. God willing, during the summer, when you have nothing to do Sunday mornings, you can go to ytcteam.com/shiurim, and towards the upper right-hand side, there's a link to most, if not all, of the shiurim that have been given Sunday. So if you've missed some, or you want to review some, there's an opportunity to do that. And we have to thank Yaakov Seltzer for
mostly from
Eliezer.
I've only got a couple.
Okay. For downloading them, editing them, making sure that my announcements don't get included in them.
This one.
So, once again, Rabbi Sharpman, Yasher Koach. Watch your emails. God willing, we haven't negotiated a deal yet for next year, but God willing, we'll start sometime when the new school year starts. And please, there's plenty of food during this year. I don't believe Rabbi Sharpen will be upset if you get up and help yourself to second or third.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to add one or two thank yous to the list that was just given. I think the greatest thank you for this year goes to none other than Rav Harvey Lichtman himself, who was the inspiration behind all of this, and who not only pushed me to do it beginning almost 5 years ago, but also has week in and week out been the light, heart and soul and the inspiration that keeps it going. So I think we have a big round of applause for Harvey. I would also like to thank two other people. First of all, the Imar Makomos, the sheets that are distributed every week. If you would ask me what's the most difficult part of preparing the shiur, that's one of them, because I almost never have a chance to prepare before Motzei Shabbos, and the sheets get printed up very late at night, usually between the hours of 12 and 2 a.m., and the person responsible for that is here to take a bow, Doug Lentz in the back, who did a wonderful job all year long. I would also be wrong for me not to say the following thank you, even though the person I'm about to thank is not here, but my wife, who has stood behind this project despite the fact that I am never available on Motzei Shabbos now for quite some time. It's with great Mesiris Nefesh, and she deserves a great deal of the credit, even though she's not here. I would just like to thank her. And finally, I'd like to thank everyone for coming. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that a person who travels to attend, to learn Torah, is given the title Mevakshei Hashem, Mevakish Hashem, a person who seeks out Hashem. So even though there's not a great deal of travel for most people, for some people here there is travel involved coming here, but many live here in the neighborhood, but nevertheless, to attend a shiur on a Sunday morning at the ungodly hour of 8:45 a.m., which is when most of Miami is still sleeping, is definitely a testimony to a person being Mevakesh Hashem, and therefore I'd like to thank everyone for coming week in and week out through all these weeks. You know, when we started this year, so I was discussing with one of the Rosh Yeshiva here, and they said that, alright, we'll see how it goes, so we'll make it a 7-week trial. So Baruch Hashem, we've now hit 20 times that amount, and you know, how Avaya should continue, and it's a total testimony and tribute to all those who come to attend this year. Okay, I would like to, the topic of today's shiur, the final shiur of the year, is something which is relevant to the 9 days. It's not based on yesterday's parsha, but because of the fact that at the 9 days preceding Tisha B'Av, actually 8 days plus Tisha B'Av, begin next week, so I thought it would be important to discuss an inyan which I think needs some clarity in our time. And that is the prohibition in the 9 days, the Tishas Hayomim, as it referred to, the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh Av up to and including Tisha B'Av, the prohibition of eating meat and drinking wine. This halacha actually applies even somewhat past Tisha B'Av. It applies even until Chatzos, until noon of the day after. But the basic halacha of not eating meat or drinking wine. And the reason I want to discuss it, I think, will become clear, because I think there is some degree of confusion about this, and hopefully we can clarify it. I think it's a very well-known halacha that in the 9 days, certainly amongst Ashkenazic Jews, that during the 9 days we don't eat meat or drink wine. But if someone were to ask, where does it say that? So the truth of the matter is that we know that the primary halacha that we have comes almost entirely from the Gemara. Comes almost entirely from the Mishnah and the Gemara. Anything that is considered halacha is found in the Mishnah and the Gemara. Anything that was decided upon after the Chasimas HaTalmud, after the completion of the writing and editing of the Gemara, does not have the status of halacha, but rather has the status of a minhag. Okay, like for example, the Ashkenazic practice not to eat kidneys on Pesach, even though it's widely accepted by all Ashkenazic Jews, and everyone, then it has a major impact on us today in particular because of the fact that corn syrup is a crucial ingredient in many foods, and it makes it that really there are more foods that you can't eat due to the kidneys prohibition than to the chametz prohibition. Nevertheless, the observance of kidneys has the status of a minhag because it is not mentioned in the Gemara. However, it's a minhag that was accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, another example would be wearing a yarmulke. Wearing a yarmulke is not found. One could search through the entire Shas. You will not see anywhere where it says that a Jewish man should walk around with his head covered all the time. Nevertheless, this is a custom which has been accepted by all Jewish men all across the world. Perhaps in some Sephardic communities they have a slightly more lenient position. But nevertheless, this is something which is a minhag that, because of its widespread acceptance, has the status of a halacha, but nevertheless it's really essentially a minhag. So if we look in the Gemara, when we talk about the prohibition of eating meat in the week before Tisha B'Av, the 9 days before Tisha B'Av, so we start here on page 1, the Mishnah in the Seches Tainis says the following. It says, Mishenichnas Av Mimatin B'Simcha. When the month of Av begins, so we diminish Simcha. Diminishing Simcha means that we postpone Simcha events. As we know, we don't have weddings or celebrations in the 9 days leading up to Tisha B'Av, and other things, that also construction of houses, things like that, other items. We do what we can to diminish Simcha out of a sense of mourning for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios B'Socha. Okay, so the week here, the word Shabbos does not mean Shabbos like yesterday was Shabbos, but rather it means the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, what's called by us today the Shavua Shechalbo, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out. Aser milasaper milachaves. You're not allowed to take a haircut and not allowed to wash clothing. Uvechamishi mutar v'nei kavod haShabbos. However, on Thursday of that week, we could wash clothing for Shabbos. And then the Mishnah says, Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochel adam shnei tavshilin. That on Erev Tisha B'Av, a person should not eat, this is a reference to Erev Tisha B'Av, the meal that is eaten right before the fast, known as the Suda Mafsekes. A person should not eat two cooked foods, it should be a very simple meal. And then the Mishnah says, lo yochel basar lo yishtayayin. That you should not eat meat at that meal, and you should not drink wine. Meaning that the Mishnah is telling us that at the meal that precedes Tisha B'Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, the last meal that we eat should not contain meat and wine. Should not have meat and wine. So obviously, the implication of that is that up until that point, it's permissible. Up until that point, it's permissible. Because if it were forbidden from Rosh Chodesh, like we practice today, so what would be the need for the Mishnah to say this? Of course you can't have meat and wine on the meal right before the fast. You can't have it already for the previous 9 days. So it's clear, and one can look through the Gemara and see this, that the prohibition, Midina de Gemara, from the Talmudic halacha, there is no prohibition to eat meat and drink wine in 9 days, only in the meal before Tisha B'Av. Okay, however, the halacha can be found in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, and if you turn here to page four. So it says on page four here in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kafkuf and Aleph Sif Tes. So the Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Nogin that some have the minhag Shelo Lecho Basar v'Shelo Lishtos Yayin b'Shabbosu, not to eat meat or drink wine during the week of Tisha B'Av. Okay, and then we'll skip the parentheses. It says the Yesh Shemosifin Meirosh Chodesh Ad Atainis. Then there are others who have added on not just the week of Tisha B'Av, but from Rosh Chodesh, which is a few more days. V'yeshem osifin miyud zayin b'tamuz. And there are some who accepted not to eat meat or drink wine from Shivasa b'tamuz, which was this past week. Those are the three customs that are brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch does not take an official stand on this and just brings all three practices as minhag. If one looks at the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom of the page, so it says in the Sifkot and Nunches, the second line from the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Mirosh Chodesh ad Atainis v'Rosh Chodesh b'chlal, that the people, the second minhag mentioned is that we stop eating from Rosh Chodesh, the meat and wine, v'chein ha-minhag b'medinoseinu, and that is the practice that has been accepted in our countries. As the Chafetz Chaim, speaking for Ashkenazic Jews, says that the practice that has been accepted by Ashkenazim is this practice, not to eat meat and drink wine from Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, it has the status of a minhag, because it's not mentioned in the Mishnah Gemara. But this is a minhag that's widely accepted, we'll soon see. Now, there are Sfardim, I think among Sfardim, there are different practices. There are those that go from Rosh Chodesh also, there are those that go up until the week of Tisha B'Av. But amongst Ashkenazic Jews, certainly the accepted practice amongst far and wide is to go from Rosh Chodesh. Okay, now if you look back on the top, the Shulchan Aruch continues and says in Sif Yud, it says that we'll skip the Mechaber, we'll go to the Ramah, which is in the Rashi print on the bottom line there. One line before that. It says, Muta lishtos yayin havdolo birchas hamazon. That the prohibition of eating meat or drinking wine does not apply, generally speaking, when it comes to mitzvahs, as we will soon see. It does not apply to mitzvahs, and therefore, havdolo certainly doesn't apply on Shabbos. The accepted current Ashkenazic practice is that we eat meat on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. Sometimes you could have two Shabbos in the 9 days in the year that Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. So the accepted practice is that we eat meat and drink wine on Shabbos, even though that was not always the case, but that's the accepted practice today. And not only that, but you could also drink the wine for Havdalah. Okay, this is, some people have the custom that during the 9 days they make Havdalah on beer. There's all kinds of practices that come up, but the basic halacha is that if a person, you know, can drink the wine of Havdalah themselves, even though it's not Shabbos anymore, once you made Havdalah, nevertheless, and it's now it's the 9 days, and it's not Shabbos, but you're allowed to drink it. If there is a child over, let's say, the age of 9, then you give it to a child, but most people just drink it themselves, or some people make the Havdalah on beer. Okay, now, the Ramah says, V'noagin lahachmir shalo lishtos yayin birch zamazin lo b'avdolah. So the Ramah brings that some people are machmir not to drink the wine of benching and havdolah, as we just mentioned, right? They give it to a child. If you turn now to the next page, to page 5, elanosim latinok, they give it to a child, which if you look in the Mishnah Berurah is a little complicated, because the child is too young, it's not good, it's not valid, the child has to be a certain age. But which really makes it better to just drink the wine yourself. Okay, he says, all right, so a person who needs to can drink the wine of Havdalah. Now it continues and says, v'studas mitzvah. Now what happens if you have a meal? Yes, Ted.
What does it have to do with Shabbos? Rabbi mentioned that it has to do with mitzvah. So in other words, Havdalah is a mitzvah.
Yeah, so all of these things, it seems, are minhagim. It's hard to, yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Why is that not considered a davishal mitzvah? So it could be, perhaps, because it's possible to make havdalah on something else. In other words, it's efshe b'yof and achar, but it's not really a good teretz, what I'm saying. It's a good question. I don't know. But somehow, that became the minhag. I mean, the truth is, the mechaber said, for that reason, that it's mutter. The Ramah says that the minhag is not to, you're right, I'm not 100% sure why that should be. But anyway, he says over here, now, what about a sudas mitzvah? Now we're getting to the point that I wanted to cover. What about a sudas mitzvah? Kigon milo, pidyon aben, v'siyim mesechta. Well, if there's a bris, if there's a bris milo that takes place during the 9 days, there is a practice that we all know that a bris milo is supposed to be accompanied by a sudas mitzvah, and at a sudas mitzvah, at a party, at a meal that is made to celebrate the fulfillment of a mitzvah, a person is supposed to make it chashuv, it's supposed to be prestigious. So therefore, a person should try to have something of prestige. So the common practice is that we eat wax or fish, things like that. But there are people that are medactic to have fleishig, that they have meat served by a bris milah even early in the morning. I've seen it. And that's the practice. It seems from here that was really the right thing to do, because he says here that a bris milah, you're allowed to eat meat even during the 9 days, and so too by the meal for a pidyon aben, and so too for the meal of a siyum mesechta, a meal that is made for the completion of a mesechta of learning. A siyum is made on the completion of a gemara. Okay, it happens to be that those who follow the Daf Yomi, so just a little over a week ago, they made a siyum on Mesechus Erevin, so had it fallen out a little bit later, had it been pushed another 2 weeks, it would have been in the middle of the, it would have been in the 9 days. And the entire world who studies the Daf Yomi, all the people who are involved in the study of Daf Yomi, would have had the right to make a siyum and have meat during the 9 days. Okay, that's the, for a sudas mitzvah, it is mutter. Now what I wanted to discuss today is, how far does that heter go? What has happened over the years is that, you know, a bris milah and a pidyon aben you can't control, because that's not, you know, a baby is born when a baby is born. But what we have very commonly today is that people make a siyum mesechta during the 9 days. They hold off. They're finishing, for example, those who finished the Daf Yomi a couple of weeks ago or last week, I assure you that there are many who are holding off making the siyum, that they haven't yet made the siyum, because they look at the calendar and they say, it's coming up, the 9 days, so we can make the siyum during the 9 days and have meat. Okay, so the question is that right or is that not right? And furthermore, what has become more and more common in the last number of years is that you see meat restaurants, fleishig restaurants, that advertise that we will be open during the 9 days, and a siyum will take place every night during the 9 days. And therefore, anybody who wants can come in and participate in the siyum, and you can have whatever you want. This is not uncommon. This has happened. It even happened down here. But it happens in New York every year and in other places. And the question is that right or is it wrong? Is that right or is it wrong? So after Sirah, it says here you can make a Siyam Masechta. So the question is, can you hold it off? And when you make a Siyam, who is invited to come? Okay, so in order to explore this halacha, the first thing we have to understand is, why is it that during the 9 days you're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine? Okay, so if we took a poll, if I ask right now, first thing that comes to mind, why can't you eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days? So you'll say, because we're mourning for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's a good answer, but it's not a great answer, because I would counter by saying that there is a halacha in the Hilchos Avelos that, God forbid, a person who is sitting Shiva is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Okay, an onan from the time of death until the funeral is not allowed to. But an ovel, once a person who is sitting Shiva is allowed to have meat, is allowed to have meat even while he's sitting Shiva, and is allowed to drink wine even while he's sitting Shiva. So then the question emerges, so then why can't you do it during the 9 days? If you're mourning, so it's not consistent with the other laws of mourning.
So the destruction took place on Tisha
B'Av. I'm sorry?
The destruction took place on
Tisha B'Av, right.
Aren't we like in the owning period?
So you're saying, like, oh, well, I don't know about that. In other words, that then we would have all the other issue. I don't think we really ever observe the law of an onen. In other words, on Tisha B'Av itself, they break it up. In the morning, it's considered like a novel sitting Shiva, and then in the afternoon, it's already, you know, considered time for a Kabbalah Tanchumen, but, you know, like Nicham Avelum type of setup. But I don't think we consider ourselves the onen before that. So the question is, why is it that you're not allowed to do this during the 9 days? So the truth of the matter is that this is discussed in the poskim, and in keeping with the answer that everybody would have said, that it's due to simcha, so it's brought in the Rishonim, the Kolbo, it's quoted in the Beis Yosef, in the Torah, that he says that in particular, we don't do it during the 9 days because of the fact that the Gemara says, we spoke about this before Shavuos, the Gemara says, Ein Simcha el b'bas v'yayin, that meat and wine in particular pertain to Simcha, and it seems that by us today, if we didn't do this, we would forget about the Churban Beis HaMikdash altogether. In other words, a person who's sitting Shiva can't forget what's happening. He knows he's sitting Shiva, he's sitting on the floor for 7 days, people are coming to be with him, so a person in that situation can't lose sight of what he's doing. And therefore, to eat meat and drink wine doesn't really interfere, because you're not going to get carried away, you're not going to lose sight, because you're in a situation of intense mourning. But the minhag that is practiced in the 9 days, we don't sit on the ground like we do on Tisha B'Av at night and in the morning. We don't do that. And everyone goes to work and everybody goes about their things. So therefore, there was a svara to say that if we don't do something, we'll forget about it completely. So therefore, even though an ovel is allowed to eat meat and drink wine, but when it comes to the 9 days before Tisha B'Av, we don't. That is what some people say. However, I think the more accepted opinion is based on the Gemara that we find in Maseches Bava Basra, which, if you turn back to page 1, the Gemara tells us at the very end of the third parak, the very end of Cheska Sabbatim, the last Gemara, says as follows. We'll start from the top of the paragraph. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kishechorav Habayis Bishnia. The Gemara says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the second time, now you have to realize that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the first time, it was a tremendous catastrophe. But the Jewish people knew that they were going to go into Golos only for a prescribed period of time, and then they were going to come back. They had Nevi'im, that was in the era of Nevi'im, and they had people like Yirmiyo and others who were telling them that this is a Golos which has an end, and, you know, Mulos Shivim Shana Lubava Lefkot Eschem, the Pasuk says, Hashem said that after 70 years, I'm going to take you out. There was a big difference of opinion how you calculated the 70 years, at which point, because the Jews didn't go into Golos all at the same time, they went in stages, but nevertheless, they knew that there was a certain sense of security that, as terrible as this is, but it's going to end. But the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the post-Nevuah era. There were no Nevi'im anymore. And therefore, there was nobody around that was making any guarantees or any promises. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the second time, there was a much greater sense of doom than there was the first time. As terrible as it was the first time, not minimizing it. There was, if you look in the Sefer Melachim and in the Megillas Eicha, you see how all kinds of horrific things that happened, but there was at least a certain sense that this is only for, this has an end, there's going to be an end to this. But as we know, 1900 years after the Churban of the Second Beis HaMikdash, there was no end that was in sight. And therefore, people knew that. They intuitively knew that this could go for a very long time. So the Gemara says, Ravu Prushim B'Yisrael, that there were members of the Klal Yisrael who were called Prushim, that they were like the people who separated themselves from the pleasures of the world, and they decided, Shelo Lecho Basar V'Shelo Lishtos Yayin. They said that we're not going to eat meat, and we're not going to drink wine, ever. Ever. Never again. That's it. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and we're not going to eat meat and drink wine. Not in the Erev Tisha B'Av, not in the week of Tisha B'Av, not in the 9 days, but never because of the Churban. This is what they wanted to do. A very, very severe practice. That's a good thing that we don't follow this. Okay, so the Gemara says that Nidfo Lehen Reb Yeshua, the Gemara says that Reb Yeshua, one of the Tanoim who lived at that time, got involved in debate with these people, and he tried to set them straight. He said, why are you doing this? Why are you accepting this practice? Amru lo, so they said to him, how could we eat meat? The meat that was eaten commonly in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was meat from Karbanos. And now the Mizbeach has been destroyed. That's it. The Beis HaMikdash, the meat, right? People had carbon shlomim. It was very common that people had ate basar kachim. That's why, as we mentioned recently, all Jews had to observe the laws of Tumah and Tara, not just Kohanim in those days, because everybody was involved in this. So they said meat was so much identified with the Beis HaMikdash, we can't eat meat anymore. And then they said further, Yayin sheminaskin al gabim izbeach, v'achshav batol. And wine was poured on the Mizbeach, right? They had the Nisuch we had yesterday in the Parash and Parashas Pinchas, right? The discussion of the Nisuchim wine that was poured on the Mizbeach in the time of the Karban Tumah and other times. So they said, now there's no more of that. So we can't drink wine either. And on that basis, they said we should institute this practice. So he said to them, so Amar Lehem, so Rabbi Yeshua said to them, Im kein lechem lo nochal. He said, if that's the case, then you shouldn't eat bread either. Why? Shekvar batlu menachos. Because of the fact that there used to be the carbon mincha that was brought on the Mizbeach, which was consisted of a flour. So therefore, if you're going to go with that attitude, then anything that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash we're abstaining from, so you shouldn't eat bread anymore. So these people were not deterred by this. They said, fine, you're right, good idea, we're not going to do that either. Efshar b'peiros. We will live, we will subsist exclusively on fruits. Okay, that's it. Right, it's the beginning of vegetarianism, right here. That's it. We're not having any more meat, right here it is. The Prushim b'Yisrael. Okay, an ascetic custom. Alright, so he said back to them, so Rabbi Yeshua said back, the Gemara continues, that peros lo nochal, he said, you can't eat peros either. Shekvar batul bikurim. Because the bikurim, right? The bikurim consisted of fruit. That was brought to the Beis HaMikdash, so you can't have fruit either, following your line of reasoning. To which they said back, undeterred, efshur b'peros acherim. You're right, they said. We won't do that either, but just remember, bikurim only applies to the seven species, right? To the shivas aminim. Is bikurim. Okay, it doesn't apply to all the fruits. Oranges, you don't have to bring bikurim from. Apples, you don't have to bring bikurim from. It's only from the fruits of the shivas aminim. So therefore, no problem, fine. So we'll live the rest of our lives on oranges and apples and things like that. So then, Rabbi Yeshua said back to them, mayim lo nishta. Then you can't drink water either. Shekvar batel nizuch hamayim. Because they, on Sukkot, when they the special mitzvah, which Halacha Mosh Misinai, to pour water on the Mizbeach on Sukkot, right? They had the special ceremony, Nisuch HaMayim, which was accompanied by great celebration in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So there's no more water. If there's no more water, you shouldn't drink water anymore either. So this apparently got them. So the Gemara says Shosku. So that quieted them down. Amar Lahen, so Rabbi Yeshua said to them, and it's a very important lesson, Rabbi Yeshua said to them, because he saw there was a great sincerity in this. In other words, these people were willing to be Moser Nefesh, and they had no idea, you know, how long this is going to go on for. This could go on forever, you know, I mean not forever, but go on for a very long time. And you're not going to eat meat or bread or any of these things. So Rabbi Yeshua said, this is not the way you do it. He said, B'ni bo v'omer lachem. He said, let me explain to you how you make a policy, how a Jewish leader makes a policy. He said, Shalolah is abo kolikari efsha. To not mourn the destruction of Beis HaMikdash at all, we can't. Shekvar nigzer gzeira, because of the fact that the Churban happened, and there was already a feeling amongst the Rabbanim that there should be some sign of mourning for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So that you have to do. However, l'sabo yosemi dai efsha, however, to do extreme measures, to institute extreme forms of mourning, you can't do either. Why not? She'en gozrin gzeira ala tzibur, ela im kain rov tzibur yicholon ramadba. Because we don't make any decree on the public unless the majority of people are able to live with it. In other words, you can't make a public policy that makes life impossible for people. You can't do that. So you may have a good reason. You may have a very good reason. They had a very good reason. The Gemara nowhere is questioning the sincerity of these people. Rabbi Shua wasn't saying that they're crazy or that they're phonies. He wasn't saying that. He understood that they felt they were totally destroyed over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But he said that's not the way we do things. Because you can't make a gzeira, you can't make a public policy, a decree that applies to the masses of people unless most people can live with it. If most people can't live with it, you can't do it. Right? This is, by the way, brought in the halacha, one of the reasons why we don't fast 2 days Yom Kippur, the Sveika Dioma. Right? In other words, you could ask, we observe 2 days every other Yontif in Golis, so why don't we fast the day after Yom Kippur also? It's a Suffolk, right? The same way it's a Suffolk on Sukkot or on Pesach, right? So it's a Suffolk in Yom Kippur. So the answer is, and this is widely accepted, that even though there were times that people did a little something, but in today's world, all the poskim agree that nobody does such a thing, and one of the reasons it's brought is because you can't do that, because it's a rabbinic policy, right? The Rabbanon instituted the Sveika Dioma, and you can't do this to people. You tell them to fast 2 days in a row, how are they going to do that? So most people can't go by that. So therefore, as a rule, we don't do these things. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua said that we're not going to do this, and therefore, Elokach Amru Chachamim. So he says, but so rather, the Chachamim prescribed certain measures of mourning, and the Gemara lists off a number of them, which may be a topic for a different shiur one day. But he says that basically we don't do this stuff. This is too severe. It's too severe, and therefore we don't do it. So the poskim say that even though we don't do it as a policy all year long, which is what these prushim wanted, this Gemara is not talking about the 9 days. They wanted to make it that you should never ever eat meat or drink wine ever again until Mashiach comes. But we don't. So that we don't follow. However, in the 9 days leading up to Tisha B'Av, so then we do follow that. Meaning that the reason why in particular we don't eat meat and drink wine, even though a person sitting Shiva does, is because of the fact that it's not a din in avelus per se, but rather it's a function of the fact that this is a special zeichel l'churban. This is a special commemoration of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because wine and meat in particular were associated with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Of course, you'll ask, so then why don't we also not eat bread and fruit and that? So that already was too far to go, even for the 9 days. But when it comes to meat and wine, this was accepted. And this is what's brought in the poskim by many poskim, that this is the reason that we don't eat meat or drink wine during the 9 days. And because of that, just for the record, because of that, it is permitted to drink other beverages that bring simcha. For example, it's clear in all the poskim that a person allowed to drink beer during the 9 days. Right? As I mentioned earlier, there are some people that have the minhag to make havdalah on beer during the 9 days, but everybody agrees they could drink beer. You'll say, well, what's the difference between beer and wine? They both make you happy. They both give a person simcha. So according to this, we understand, because beer could not be poured on the mizbeach. Beer was not wine. So since it's not a din and avelus per se, but rather it is a function of a zecher l'churban, it's a function of a zecher to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so therefore we don't drink beer. Now, you will say to me, if that's the case, so then there's also a lot of wine that couldn't be poured on the Mizbeach either. For example, cooked wine, Yain Mevushel, which is most of the wine that we drink, could not be poured on the Mizbeach, and neither could grape juice. But nevertheless, when it came to wine, so once they banned wine, the minute anything that's called wine. But things that are not called wine, that, like beer, for example, that you're allowed to eat. When it came to meat, they also banned chicken and things like that. Anything that's called basar and anything that's called yayin. It brings to mind, just as an anecdote, that years ago I had a position in a summer camp, and it happens to be I have yard site for my mother on the sixth day of Av, a few days before Tisha B'Av. So I, in keeping with the widely accepted practice of giving a tikkun on the day of the yard site, so after davening, I came into the dining room with a bottle of schnapps and some cups, and I promptly went over to the Rav of the camp, who was a very, very distinguished Talmud Chacham, he's still out there, who was a very, very close person to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I figured I should give him the first L'chaim because he's the Rav in the camp. Well, that was a very great mistake, because I went over to him, and he said, schnapps? I had a bottle of Johnny Walker. He said, during the 9 days? What's going on here? You can't drink that. I said to him, where does it say that? So he said, it's not wine, this is scotch. So he said to me, well, scotch in halacha is called yayin sarif. Right, it's called yayin sarif because I believe there are certain forms of alcoholic drinks that were made from grapes. In other words, you have like, for example, they have like the shlivovitz of brandy or things like that that were coming from grapes. So in halacha, it's called yayin sarif. He said anything that's called wine is no good. Well, that was the end of the tikkun. So I walked out very, very, in a great sense of distress. I should have brought him a beer. What should I have done? So anyway, so I was very dejected, so I went over to the learning director of the camp, who was a Hasidic Yid, and a very distinguished Talmud Chacham, and I told him, but he wasn't the Rav, he was the director of the learning, and he's also still out there, I won't mention any names, and I told him, he saw I was sad, I told him what happened, he said, he looked at me and he said, let me, go tell him that if he would come into my shtibl and say that psak, they would stone him with the bottles of scotch. he said, this is unheard of. We never heard of such a halacha, and everyone does. The truth is, I asked around afterwards. It is found. If you look at it, had not reviewed the halacha recently, but it can be found here in the Shari Tshuva, on page 4, column that says Shari Tshuva, that's 6 lines down, it says V'af Yayin Sarif Mutter, it says explicitly that the Yayin Sarif, even though it's called wine, but nevertheless schnapps and scotch, vodka, any of those things are permissible. So therefore, if it pertains to anybody, you're allowed to have scotch or any such drinks during the 9 days, you just cannot have wine. Anyway, so there you have it, okay? So the reasons why we don't drink wine and eat meat, they're either because of simcha or because of the fact that it's a zecher to the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now the question is, if this is only a minhag, so how far do we have to go with this? So if you look here on page 2, in the Aruch HaShulchan, the top paragraph says as follows. Aruch HaShulchan says, Medina de Gemara, he says, based on the law that's stated in the Gemara, Ein Isser Bachilas Basar Rak Be'erev Tisha B'Av. That, as we said at the outset, really, according to the Gemara, the only prohibition of wine and meat is on Erev Tisha B'Av at the Suda Mafsekes. Avo Parkibu, Avo Seinu Zeh, Harbe Neos Fashonim. He says, however, it has been accepted for many hundreds of years, Shalolecho Basar, Shalolishos Yayim in Rosh Chodesh Av Aracha Tisha B'Av, that we don't eat meat or drink wine from Rosh Chodesh, Levad Miyom Shabbos, okay, and he says explicitly that first of all, it's true, it's a minhag in the sense it's not mentioned in the Gemara. However, it's been widely, widely accepted for hundreds and hundreds of years, and the reason is because it's a zecher for the karbonos and the pouring of the wine, the libations, And then he says further, but unfortunately today many people don't take this seriously. This is written in the late 1800s. He says, Levad Shehein Ovrin Isser Daraisa Mitam Neder. So he says, why, what's so bad if a person were to say, well, it's a minute. So a minute, I don't have to keep every minute. I try to keep the halachas, but minhagim, I don't have to. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, a remarkable thing, that a minhag that has been accepted by large segments of Jews constitutes a neder. And in the same way, like if a person can, and the law of a neder is that a person can impose a personal ban on himself. Right? In other words, even though I could take a cake, which is a permissible piece of cake, and say that I prohibit myself from eating cake. And if a person did that, it would have the law of a neder. And if he then went ahead and ate it, so it would be Oster Minatari, broke his neder. That's why it's important to say Bli Neder when a person speaks about something that can be associated in any way with a mitzvah or something along those lines. You have to say Bli Neder, because if it's a neder, then you're stuck. You have to keep it. So says the Aruch HaShulchan that if something has been accepted by large segments of the Jewish people without question, so then it's like Klal Yisrael as a whole made a neder. If you made a neder, so then you have to keep it. So he says it would come out that really eating meat or drinking wine during the 9 days, even though it's not mentioned even in the Gemara, but it would really constitute an Issa D'Oraisa. It would be a Torah violation of a Torah law because of the fact that it has the power of a neder. And then he goes on a whole diatribe about the fact that the fact that we can't control ourselves even for such a short period of time. And he says the Goyim are able to do it in certain times, and how could we not be able to do it? Okay. Anyway, so there you have it. That is the reason why we don't eat meat and drink wine. Now, just before I get to the specific point that I wanted to address, so the minhag, as I say, is by Sfardim. It depends, there are different practices, but amongst the Ashkenazic Jews, this is accepted completely, and so it remains, and it comes up in a number of situations. A person has to be careful. For example, there's a widespread custom that people have that on Friday afternoon, they sit down to taste the chalent, right? Get a sneak preview of the Shabbos food. A man walks into his house, smells all the good food that his wife is preparing, and it's even brought down that there's some sort of mitzvah to do this because of the fact that this way you ensure that the food will taste good on Shabbos. They base it on the phrase Toamer Chaim Zochu, right, that we say in the Zmiris on Shabbos, right, that a person who tastes the food merits life because he's ensuring that the food on Shabbos will taste good. So the question is, are you allowed to do this on Friday afternoon of the 9 days? So the poskim say that a woman who's cooking is allowed to taste the food to see if it needs to be seasoned, even though she may be eating something which is fleshy, but she's allowed to do it because she's not doing it for simcha, and you don't get simcha in the minute amount of meat. And you'll say, what about the other reason, about the zecher to the Beis HaMikdash? So apparently for Shabbos that's allowed. However, a person who is not tasting it for that reason, but, you know, just walks in and is hungry and would like to have a little snack before Shabbos, you can't do that on the week of the 9 days. Because if it's meat, so you have to wait till Shabbos. Now, you're allowed to accept Shabbos early. There's no problem with that. You can go to an early Shabbos minyan this time of the year, no problem. And even though you'll say, well, it's still the daylight, but then you can eat meat because you've accepted Shabbos. That's fine. But prior to that, you're really not supposed to do that. And the only heter that's out there for a person to eat meat during the 9 days would be either for a person who is sick and needs the food, or a person who is weak, a chola or a cholosh. Other than that, we do not eat meat or drink wine. Which brings us to the question of, okay, so let's make a sin. Let's make a sin. As I said, if you're fortunate enough to have a situation of bris, somehow I found that when there's a bris or a pidyon haben during the 9 days, there's usually a record attendance. Everyone manages to show up, especially a pidyon haben. They break all the attendance records. The pidyon haben is often not at a convenient time for people because we don't do this reason makdim or mitzvahs. The pidyon haben, we once discussed this, that we don't do it in the morning for certain reasons. So therefore, a pidyon haben is generally held in the afternoon. And not convenient, but when it comes to 9 days, everybody shows up, right? Because they're gonna have meat, sudas mitzvah. And so too, people eat meat for Shalosh Shudas, right? They're worried about the leftovers, that they're going to have to throw it out. You're not going to, you know, what are you going to do with that? There is an opinion that says you're allowed to eat the leftovers from Lava Malta. That's the Chidah in the Sefer Machzit Bracha says that. But nevertheless, that's not widely accepted. That opinion, and we don't eat even from Lava Malka. So okay, so when it comes to these things, people eat meat during the 9 days, and Sudas Mitzvah is fine. But you can't control these things, right? You can't stage a pidyon aben. You're only entitled, a person will say, well, we mentioned once a few weeks ago that we're not always sure who today has the status of a Kohen, right? And there were stories of tzaddikim that would go around the whole life giving, every time they met a Kohen, giving him the pidyon aben, just in case. So a person will be a tzaddik and say, I'm nervous that I wasn't yotzei pidyon aben, and make a fleisha gemil. You can't do that, right? Yeah, it has to be a legitimate pidyon aben. So now, but a siyum you can do. So is it right or is it wrong? So if we look here, if we turn to page 5, so it says here, the Ramah, going back to the Ramah said you could make a siyum mesechta. Says the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom of the page, in the bottom of page 5, Sifkat 9 Gimel, he says the following three requirements. He says, when we call makom, in Ron is damen belimudo hasiyum, that when we say that you could make a siyum during the 9 days, that's only if it naturally fell out that way, that you were learning, and it happens to be that you finished learning the Masechta and the entire volume of the Shas, of that Shas, in the 9 days. He says, However, he says, but if it did not happen that way, lo yimaher o ya'acher b'shvilzeh. A person should not go faster. Let's finish this off quickly so we can get to see him during the 9 days. Or, we finished the Daf Yomi last week, we finished Erevin, so let's wait another 2 weeks. Don't learn the last Gemara. We'll hold off the last Gemara till the 9 days, and then we'll make the Siyum. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you shouldn't do that. The only time there's a heter for a Siyum is if it naturally fell out. A person was learning, and okay, we finished. It happens to be. Life goes on even during the 9 days. You learn your daily learning. So if it happens to be that during that time you finish the Masechta, then you can make a Siyum. But if not, not. That's what he says so far. Then he says, so that's strike one. Then he says, strike two, the gamim lo haya osa suda b'shar hayomim efsher shelo yasa gamata. He says that this could also only really be done if you make a siyum every time you finish a masechta. Now let's say a person who learns the daf yomi, so in any given year, you're finishing several masechtas, right? This year is a rough year because you had Shabbos and Erevin, so there's two long masechtas, but in a lot of years, you could finish 3-4 masechtas in a year. So the question is, do you always make such a celebration? Or are you just doing it because it's the 9 days and you're looking to beat the system? So says the Mishnah Berurah that also, he's not sure, he says it could be that if you don't always celebrate it, you shouldn't celebrate it now either. Because what's the big thing? Now you're doing it because you want it, because you know you're not allowed to have meat and you want to have meat. He says, it's not really right. You have to be eruch. You have to be sincere. If you always do it, I'm not saying that a person should always do it. If a person finishes a masechta, they should always make a party. But it's a very important thing. It's a real Sudas Mitzvah. However, if you don't usually do that, so then maybe you shouldn't do it now either. That's strike two. And then he says, strike three, he says, Okay, nim nizdamim karoi. He says, if it happens to be that it fell out naturally during the 9 days, mutarim lecho af osin shu olam du imam. So then you could make the siyum, and you could even invite others. However, it has to be im hayuholchan uboran gam bizman acher mishum reyes. You can invite your friends. In other words, if you're making a siyum, so let's say a person made a siyum during the regular year. So who would you invite? So you invite your relatives, you invite your friends. You don't put up a sign in the neighborhood, I'm making a siyum, anybody who wants come to my house. Nobody does that, not that I'm aware of. Right? So he says the same thing would apply over here. That if you're making a siyum, so fine. We have a principle that when we make a siyum, the siyum is not just for the person who completed the learning, but the siyum also applies to those who helped out. If you look here in the Bir Halacha, I will not read it now in the interest of saving time, but he says that the person is allowed to invite his chaverim. If a siyum is made in the yeshiva, so then you're allowed to invite the entire yeshiva because of the fact that everybody helped out. You know, the other people who learned in the Beis Medrash, even though they didn't finish the Masechta, but nevertheless, they added to the spirit of the learning by coming. In other words, when I come into the Beis Medrash, this person is there, and because he's learning, it inspires me to learn also, and it makes a comfortable environment for me to learn. So therefore, I can invite him too, because he helped me. So he's also a participant in the Siyum. But other than that, you really should not invite anyone else. That's what he says. This is what he says. And if you look back to the Ramah on the top, he says, the Ramah says that, it's cut off here, but in the Shulchan Aruch, it's here. He says that in the Shvuah, 2 lines from the end of the Ramah, Ubi Shvuah Shechal Tishabav Besocha, Ein Lecho Basav Lishtos Yayin Rak Minyan Mitzumtzum. He says, this applies during the 9 days up to the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out. But in the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, so for example, this year Tisha B'Av is on a Tuesday. So Rosh Chodesh, I believe, is next Monday, right? Next Monday is Rosh Chodesh. Yeah. So the 9 days begin next Monday. But the week of Tisha B'Av begins the following Motzei Shabbos. Okay, so next week, you can make a siyum and invite all your friends and invite, you know, the people who weren't together with you, that's fine. But if the siyum falls out the following week, and the days right up to Tisha B'Av, and the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, says the Ramah, you should only invite 10 people, and that's it. Reminyan Mitzumtzum, he says in the Mishabura there, says your relatives are not included in the 10, your relatives can come too, your family can come. But other than that, it should only be the 10 people. So these are 3 qualifications that we have in making a siyum. Okay, in other words, number one, you can't rush it, you can't delay it, it has to fall out naturally. Number two, it has to be really only if you usually make a siyum in such situations. And number three, there's a limit to who you can invite, you can't just make it open to everybody. Now, the reality is that we know, you know, if you've been around a little bit, so we know that the halacha of a siyum is there are many, many diverse practices. There are many, many diverse practices. In summer camps, it is very common that they have siyumim during the 9 days. They make a siyum many nights during the 9 days, and the entire camp eats meat. Okay, during those times, they have the siyum. Okay, and anyone who attends those camps can tell you that if you've ever been in such a camp, you know that it's interesting because the rest of the summer, no one ever made a siyum. It's very remarkable. All of a sudden, everybody has a siyum during the 9 days. There's not one siyum that's held the rest of the summer, except for during the 9 days. So clearly, it's staged. There's no question that it's set up. That it's set up that way. So that's done. Furthermore, you know, in the good old days, or maybe, I don't know how you want to refer to them, but years ago, I remember as a child growing up, my father, Shlomi Well, was a Rav, and it was in the Catskill Mountains. It used to be referred to as the Borscht Belt. He had all the kosher hotels, and there was a kosher hotel that used to invite, I remember every summer, my father would go to make a siyum during the 9 days in this hotel, and it was always a treat because we got to eat the fancy hotel food for supper. And this was done in order that people should be able to eat meat. So you'll say, how does that jive with anything that we've said? Even in camp, how does that jive? So the truth of the matter is, there are dissenting opinions. What Chavetz Chaim says here in the Mishnah Berurah is the hardest line. There are perhaps things to rely upon in other areas. So for example, if you turn to page 3, so we have here in the Kaf HaChaim, which was written by one of the Sephardic Gedolim. So the Kaf HaChaim says that in the last 4 lines, I'll skip the rest of it because it's late, he says that Vinira, he says, the ruadin de mutter lahaktin im eno mishana say the limudo bahavanu be'ion. He says, it seems to me that if you see the 9 days are coming, you're allowed to rush your learning to finish during the 9 days, as long as you don't compromise the learning. In other words, as long as you don't just quickly daven it off, you know, then you continue learning with the understanding that you've always had, then it's all right, it's not so terrible, right? He says, how would you do that? He says, and there's, for example, if a person usually learns 2 hours a day, and now he says, I want to make it during the 9 days, so I'll learn an extra hour each day for the few weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av, and therefore I'll be able to make it. So the Kafa Chaim already says that's okay. That's his opinion. The Aruch HaShulchan, which is on the sheet that was handed out separately, the Aruch HaShulchan says that also when it comes to learning, it could be that it's not so terrible if you rush the learning because it encourages people to learn. There are some people that if they didn't make a siyum during 9 days, they wouldn't have learned it. They learned the Masechta to make a siyum during the 9 days. So you'll say, well, that's not right. But on the other hand, at least they learned the Masechta. So, you know, he says that that could also be a mitigating factor. Yeah.
Rushing to finish it.
Right.
In case, if you wanted to, add 2 weeks before.
Delay it. Right. So to delay it, they have another heter. It's not in the Kafa Chaim, but there's a, they based on a Gemara Moed Katan, it's in Daf Dalet, there's a Gemara Moed Katan, which indicates that you could hold off something also that's controversial. I don't want to get involved with it. The Aruch Shulchan strongly disagrees with it. But there are people, as far as the first factor that the Mishnah Berurah says, there are Mekilim as far as that goes. As far as that goes, there are Mekilim. However, as far as the second and third considerations, which he said that, that, you know, you can only do it if you usually make a siyum, so that probably holds true even today. And as far as who you're allowed to invite. So to just put up a sign, anybody who wants, kol dichvin yese v'yecho, we only say that on Pesach, right? We don't say that for the 9 days. But anyone who's hungry, come make a siyum by me, right? That's we don't say. Because of the fact that really it's only people who you have closeness to. So how do they do it in camps? So they do it in camps. I never really got it clear. I believe part of the reason is because they're worried that the kids aren't going to eat. They're not used to eating in today's world. They're used to eating fleishik for supper. They're not comfortable eating the other stuff. They're worried about that. They're worried about other considerations. So therefore they rely on heterim to do it. But it's not really the optimal thing. So, you know, as far as, okay, so it's widely accepted in sleepaway summer camps that people make siyumim, widely accepted. But even in such a situation, the halacha is that, you know, you have to eat with the siyum. You have to eat with the siyum. Now, which means that if you're attending a siyum, the halacha is you don't have to be there necessarily when they finish. So that's what happens sometimes. A person's going to a siyum, gets there a few minutes late, and you miss the siyum. If you miss the siyum, it's not a problem. The consensus of the poskim is as long as you're at the meal that is celebrating the siyum, even if you didn't hear the siyum, you could still participate. But if it's after that, then you can't. I remember once being in a summer camp where somebody who was involved in the administration of the camp used to work part of the week in the city, so he came up for Shabbos. It was a Thursday night in 9 days. They had made a siyum at 6:30. And at 10 o'clock at night, I see him eating hot dogs. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, they made a siyum. So, but he wasn't there for the siyum. He wasn't there for the siyum or for the meal or for anything. And he wasn't even eating the food in the place where the siyum was served. But, you know, they saved it for him and he ate it later. That you really can't do. You have to be at least participating in the meal of the siyum at when it's being served. Which brings us now, as we come to the end, which brings us to our original question. So can a restaurant offer this arrangement? Can a restaurant say, we will have somebody making a siyum? See, this year was perfect, because with the Erevin, Daf Yomi, this is the easy one, right? They could just go over to 5-6 people, learning Daf Yomi, you know, just a little advanced planning, and tell them, hold off the siyum, waste it in 9 days, we'll give you a free meal for you and your family, otherwise we have to shut the place down. Or, of course, they could serve fish, which is what a lot of restaurants do. But this is what we're going to do. Is this right or wrong? So this question gets into a shaila that was asked to Rav Sternbach, Shalom be well, one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, Sefer Tshuvas van Hagos, was asked the shaila. It's here in the third volume of his Sefer, that he was asked, can a restaurant owner keep his restaurant open to accommodate people who otherwise would not observe the laws of kashrus? In other words, there are definitely a segment of the population that struggles to keep kashrus at all. And forgetting and telling them you can't eat meat during the 9 days, they're not ready to do that. And if you close the restaurant, they go into McDonald's. So now the question is, can you keep the restaurant open for that person? Can you keep the restaurant open? So what's the shaila? So the shaila is, do we say, this is a real shaila, which maybe should be a topic of a different shir, but do we say that you could transgress a smaller violation to prevent the transgression of a much greater violation? In other words, not eat meat during the 9 days, so it's a minute. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan says it's Mishum Neder, but probably not everyone agrees with that, right? So it's essentially an Issa D'Rabbanan. But if the guy goes to McDonald's, he's over in Issa D'Oraisa. So therefore you say, well, I'm saving him. I'm saving him by doing that. Can that be done? A similar shaila, I remember I was there when this happened, a Rav who I know very well in Queens, New York, Chash V'Rav, was called, he was Rav Shaul Arieli, is a Israeli-born Rav in Kew Garden Hills, New York, and I remember hearing from him that he received a call from an Israeli tour guide who said to him that he's leading a group of Israeli teenagers to America on summer vacation, and these kids don't keep the laws of kashrus at all. Okay, now listen to this. But because of the fact that this fella is religious, so he wants they should eat in kosher places. So on his tour, he's taking them to kosher places. So he called this Rav and said, I would like you to open a pizza shop on Tisha B'Av, that they should be able to have lunch in the pizza shop on Tisha B'Av, because if not, they're going to McDonald's. Okay, what do you say to that? So right, the real life shaila. I remember when this happened. Right, he got the call, the guy said, he said, they're not fasting Tisha B'Av, forget it. Then there's no chance, they're not fasting Tisha B'Av. If you don't give them kosher food, they're going to eat non-kosher food. So I would like you to use your influence to get the Vada Rabbanim to open one of the pizza shops on Tisha B'Av so that these Jewish kids should come in and eat pizza on Tisha B'Av. Yes or no?
No.
Okay, the consensus is no. So the truth of the matter is, it's not so simple. It's not so simple because the sentiment says no, right? You say, ah, come on, what is this? You know, what kind of thing is that? You know, yeah, it's a disgrace. They don't keep Tisha B'Av, so therefore you're going to go out and do that. But on the other hand, you know, yeah, you say, just to be open-minded here, you say to yourself, well, every sin, it counts, right? And it puts a person in that much of a worse situation. And here they're going to McDonald's. It's not like, nobody's fasting. There's no question. They're not fasting. So at least you'll save them. At least they'll eat kosher food. Eating on Tisha B'Av is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Eating in McDonald's is an Issa D'Oraisa. So you at least save them for this. Yes or no? So I'll tell you what was said, and everyone could judge for themselves. I don't think this is consensus. I'm sure there are many opinions. This question comes up in other areas. We may be aware in other situations also where people do things in violation of halacha, right, in certain communities. It's not for now. I don't really want to discuss this, but the question comes up to where they allow unmarried girls to use a mikveh, right, so they say that they're promiscuous and they're not going to observe the laws properly anyway. At least you'll save them from the Yisr Nidra, right? This is a question that unfortunately comes up, right? So the question is, what do you do in a situation like that? This is a complicated question. So getting to the easiest one, okay, the one about, we'll start with the one of the, can you keep the restaurant open during the 9 days?
Take the pizza,
right? I'm sorry?
Take the pizza to them, don't open the restaurant.
Take the pizza to them? Okay, that's a good idea,
true. We don't have more Adayim.
Yeah, but then you're feeding them the Adayim. See, the question is, in other words, you're basically handing him the food. So you're saying, here, go ahead, Tatala, enjoy your pizza, it's Tisha B'Av. Right? So can you do that? Can you do that? So basically, starting from the easiest one, okay, the shaila that was brought here as far as the 9 days is concerned, Rav Sternberg said that here, he advised them to do as follows. He said, listen, he said, during the 9 days, it's mutter for a person who's sick or a person who's weak to eat meat. So therefore, a fleshed restaurant theoretically could stay open to serve those people. Such a person is allowed to go there. That there's no question. So he said, this is what I think you should do. He said, put up a sign that says that Jewish law dictates that we don't refrain from eating meat during the 9 days up to Tisha B'Av. And put that sign on the counter. And you could sell, when a person comes up to you to buy, you don't have to ask them, are you sick? How sick are you? You know, you have to stick a thermometer in the guy's mouth and say, you know, what's going on with you? He said, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. So this way, he said, we satisfied them. He said, you're not giving it to them really be a dayan. They're taking it. You have a heter to sell it. You could say that I'm selling it for the, who knows, maybe he's sick, maybe his kid is sick. You know, who knows what. So I'm selling it to him. I don't have to ask that question. And as long as I made a machra, as long as I put up that sign, that's good enough. That's what he said as far as selling the meat during the 9 days. Okay, getting back to the Shiloh with Tisha B'Av, with the Kol Shator, this Rav, I was shocked when he said it, but he's a distinguished Talmud Chacham. He opened the pizza shop for them on Tisha B'Av because he said after everything's said and done, they're going to McDonald's, and the fact of the matter is that better they should do this than do that. Now, this is controversial. There's no question. This is controversial. Definitely people will not say that. There are people that would say that this is already a disgrace, and certainly the third thing, which I mentioned, this is a very big issue, and, you know, you hear the men in almost every community in Kreisrael, the Rabbanim are united that you cannot allow such a thing to go on, because you can't, as a general rule, you can't tell someone, you can't help someone do a small avera to prevent them from doing a bigger avera. If you want to accommodate, meaning in a certain sense, you're going to do it yourself, but I won't interfere with you. That you could do. That's what Rav Sternbach was saying. In other words, I'm not going to interfere. Listen, I have a right to sell meat because sick people come in to buy meat. So you're not a sick person? Okay, listen, I think, I'm assuming you are. I'm not asking any questions. I'm assuming you're sick. That far you could go. But to go ahead and be matar and isser, because you're saving a guy from a better isser, the consensus is that you cannot do that. That's a consensus. What other Rabbanim would have said about this Tisha B'Av Shiloh? I remember when this happened, he said I had a sleepless night on it, but he said that this is what he felt. He went through the Indian, he said, this is what I think is the right thing to do. But I assure you that there were many others that would disagree, but there were probably others that would agree with him too. So anyway, so there you have it. So the practice of you know, having but having a restaurant open and just advertising everyone should come, that's clearly wrong. Because for many reasons, because the only way that would be acceptable is somebody who is not going to hold by the halacha. If somebody is not going to hold by the halacha, which I think is why they did it in the hotels years ago, you know, which I referenced earlier, I think that was because at that period of time, the Jews in America were not so meticulous in observance of halacha like today. And therefore, a lot of people didn't go by the 9 days so much. So therefore, the person went to a hotel on vacation, you can tell him he has to eat dairy. He couldn't do that. They're not going to go by it. So they would make a siyum, and they would rely on all the heterim. But generally speaking, for a person to go and say, I'm going to a restaurant where there's a siyum being made during 9 days, it doesn't really seem that there's a whole lot to base that on. So that's pretty much the way I would conclude. So with that in mind, I give everyone Yasher Koyach. We should all be zocher to see with the 9 days in Tisha B'Av, the last Tisha B'Av, and the be zocher to see the Gur Shleimer of Meher V'Yameinu, Amen, and wish everyone a wonderful summer, and see you again after Sukkot.